Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KAFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. Always live on the Odyssey app. Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm, I'm Kyle Madsen, Joe Brazil on the ones and twos. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. We're rocking with you until noon. You're on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. Then we will hand it off to D'Lo and KC. And D'Lo and KC will take you up to 4 o'clock where we have Golden State Warriors basketball against the Miami Heat right here on ESPN 1320. Also have Lakers Pacers for you tomorrow at 4. And then Thursday at 4, our coverage of the Sweet 16 begins.
Ooh.
Yeah, NCAA men's basketball. Hey, speaking of NCAA basketball, that Juju Watkins injury last night was brutal.
Oh, man.
That's just a bummer. Brutal, bro.
Yeah.
Like, one of those superstar player hitting that ascent of everybody who follows women's basketball, even a small amount. I don't follow it nearly as close as Damian and Trista Crick and even, yeah, even Kenny do. But I follow it closely enough to know who the hell Juju Watkins is. And watching a person who is about to ascend into that stratosphere of like household name,
mm-hmm,
watching them go down with a season ending injury that's going to require surgery. USC did not say specifically what the injury was, but it was a...
We're hearing this morning it's an ACL tear.
Oh, did that come out?
Yeah.
Okay, because last night their announcement said season ending injury, mm-hmm, going to require surgery. That just sucks, man. I don't think we need to belabor the point that injuries are ass.
Yeah, injuries suck.
But seeing it for her was just, man, hated it.
And she has like really big ties to DeMar DeRozan. Mm-hmm. They're close. So like it's a bummer to see something, yeah, like this happen. And like, look, I've been in the building for some catastrophic massive injuries, like, mm-hmm, the Kevin Durant Achilles tear, mm-hmm, Rudy Gay Achilles tear, like, yeah, some, like, multiple bad injuries. It just always sucks, man. Yeah. Like, even last night watching Jason Tatum get hurt,
oh,
that was,
man,
just like such a bummer to watch happen. Because again, Domantas Sabonis, there was no ill will there. Like, he didn't intentionally go hurt Jason Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
His closeout, was it reckless? Yeah, it was reckless.
It was a flagrant, for sure.
Yeah, it was a flagrant without any question. But like, even after the game, like, he apologized and like just very much heartfelt. Like, he's just gone through,
right,
all these injuries himself.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, it's part of the sport, but it still sucks every time.
No doubt. So hoping for the best for Juju Watkins, and hopefully she's back on the court dominating sooner rather than later.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause women's college basketball is even better for it. You said there's no scenario where this season's a success for the Kings, because I wanted to push back on it, and then I was thinking about it at the break. And yeah, if they win the championship, it'll be a successful year. But in the scope of realistic outcomes, where the ceiling is a first-round exit, right?
Maybe the ceiling's a first round exit. I mean, like,
no, I think,
okay, so I'm trying not to be a pessimist.
No,
I'm trying
I know.
To be realistic here.
Right. So that's right. And so that's why I'm saying, the pessimist is being like, they're not even going to make the play-in, so why does it matter? But I think they're ceiling, because if you told me, yeah, they made the play-in and they won a couple of games, sure. Mm-hmm. This team is capable, we've seen, of beating Phoenix or Dallas and then going and beating the Timberwolves or the Warriors or the Clippers or whoever they would see in that second play-in game. They are capable enough of putting back-to-back games together where they play well to go win those games. I don't think they're capable of winning 4 out of 7 against Oklahoma City.
No. No, not at all. I would say, like, when I say that, that I don't think that there is a way in which there's this, we could deem this season successful, mm-hmm. is because you were on a path. You had 48 wins. You dropped to 46. Mm-hmm. But again, there was an easy way in which you could have, you know, hit free throws in this game or, like, had, like, one bounce of the ball go a different way.
That's
that
it.
And that team could mm-hmm. have been a 50-win team
yep.
without any question last year,
yep.
right? And then you had the injuries at the end of the season that, like, really, they did yep. hurt this team, yep. right? So we get to this year, and there should, like, not to use his words against him again and again, but maintain and improve, right? That is Monty McNair. We mm-hmm. need to maintain and improve. You haven't maintained. There's no way to improve when you don't at least hit the first benchmark, which is maintain.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, you signed a 35-year-old and got older.
Mm-hmm.
You traded a 27-year-old for a 30-year-old and got older. Like, you continuously got older. You draft old players. You signed older players. There's no one on this roster that's, what, under 24? There's no one on this roster.
Man.
Like, that's 24 and below. Like,
Devin Carter?
Oh, okay. So Devin Carter's 23. Yep. My bad. So you got one player that's under, but you don't have a player that's under 23. Like, most teams have a 20-year-old or a 19-year-old or a 21-year-old. Like, they don't even have, like, a 22-year-old guy mm-hmm. that's got a year or two experience. And so what you've done is you've shrunk, like, your age arc of the team. And on top of that, you don't have a way to show, like, a path forward. What right. is your path forward? Your path forward, like, and this is not a dig on DeMar DeRozan. Your path forward cannot be that your team is handed over to a 35-year-old with a year left on his contract and who's closer to retirement than he is to anything else.
And let's remove, let me just for I'll remove DeMar DeRozan for you here.
Mm-hmm.
If the Kings got Kevin Durant right now, it would be the exact same conversation.
Of course. You know,
this is not about DeMar DeRozan. It's about pick 35-year-old player with one full year left on their contract. That's just not somebody you're building around.
Well, no, and I'll go back to what the Kings did in 2017, where they brought in four draft picks, and then they were able to get Bogdan to join the team, and then they already had four rookies from the year before.
Mm-hmm.
So 9 players, add Willie Cauley-Stein from the year before. You had 10 players that were first, second, and third year. You go out, you sign George Hill, you sign Vince Carter, and you sign Zach Randolph. That is when it's, if you're going to have a 35-year-old, 36-year-old mm-hmm. Zebo, like, keeping your team from getting blown out every single night, that's one thing.
Sure.
But it's also not what you're building around. What you're building around is the 19, 20, 21-year-olds
right.
that you expect some of them to develop into star-level players.
But Detroit did.
Yeah.
Detroit has gathered these pieces, let them play, let Cade Cunningham figure it out, let Jaden Ivey kind of figure it out. Let Jalen Duren kind of figure it out. Isaiah Stewart, you're starting to piece
Asur Thompson.
And then you reach a point where you go, okay, we're going to add some veterans around these guys and
yep.
try and push the culture forward. Try and push this group forward. They've done as much as they can with themselves. Let's bring in Tobias Harris. Let's bring in Tim Hardaway Jr. Let's bring in guys who know what they're doing.
Yep.
And we're going to try and take this to that next step. There was a path there. And if you were bringing in DeMar DeRozan because you were going to bring him off the bench because you have a bunch of young guys that you feel good about in your starting lineup, that's one thing. But you're not going into next year going, all right, hey, what are the foundational building blocks for the next 3 years of Kings basketball? It's not the 35-year-old.
No. No, and again, what you did with this move is you went to a more limited player. Like, there are a lot of people out there who don't believe that Harrison Barnes is a valuable player.
Mm-hmm.
They're wrong. Harrison Barnes can play 35 minutes a game and hold up his end on the defensive end most nights. Mm-hmm. There's some games where he's going to get beat up on, mm-hmm. but so does everybody else. Like, mm-hmm. you know, we can talk about how good Keegan Murray has become as a defender. Mm-hmm. He's so good as a defender, and Jason Tatum would have had a 30-point triple-double last night.
Yeah.
And the night before, Giannis Antetokounmpo did have a 30-point triple-double or really close to it. Mm-hmm. That's just the reality of the league. There's no way to stop certain players, mm-hmm. right? So I'm not saying that Keegan's done anything wrong, but at the same time, like, there is value in what Harrison Barnes brought to your team. It would be a lot easier right now to get to 53-pointers a game if you had Harrison Barnes instead of DeMar DeRozan. And if that's the style of play that you want to do, that you want to play, like, and that's the style of play that Mike wanted as well. Mm-hmm. He wanted 40-plus threes a game. There's just no way to do it. Mm-hmm. Like, so again, like, you can't go out there and just sign somebody because they're going to be a Hall of Famer and, mm-hmm. and you know, hey, it's good PR. Mm-hmm. That's not the way you build a team. And yeah. so, like, there are just some missteps that have happened here. And I'm not saying, hey, that DeMar DeRozan is a very, very good basketball player.
No doubt.
20-10 last night. Like, there are very few people that can walk in to an NBA game and put up 20 points and 10 assists and put up 20 points in, like, 50-plus games a season.
Yep. Yeah. He is one of the very best players to ever put the ball in the basket.
Yeah.
That's the Kings are not the team that are going to be maximized by having DeMar DeRozan on the court.
Yes, both things can be real.
And that's what, and that's, and again, I hate to harp on the DeMar thing because of what you just said. Like, he's really good. This is a Kings roster problem. Mm-hmm. The Kings don't have the right players to support DeMar DeRozan, and DeMar DeRozan is not the guy to support the players the Kings have. So it's not a fit. It's not a match.
Exactly. And we can go back to the start of the season. DeMar DeRozan was never going to be the player to not just maximize Keegan Murray. Mm-hmm. He was never going to be the right player to maximize De'Aaron Fox.
Well, right, and there was some hope that he was going to take this kind of back seat, and then when they needed a bucket, he would go get it, and nope, he's just the same guy he's always been. That just doesn't work.
Yeah, and you can't fault him for being the same guy he's always been, because that's why you pay him the money, because he's that guy.
Right. They have to identify, moving forward, what kind of team do we want to be? If they're going to hire Doug Christie, and say, you know what, Doug's the guy, we love what he did, we're going to hire the GM around that, you need to be hiring a GM that sits down with Doug and they agree, they see eye to eye on basketball. Because it was really clear that Mike Brown, because De'Aaron Fox said as much when he first talked to the media in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. Love what they can do defensively. Love the size. Love the length. Love the athleticism. You need defense to win championships. That's something Mike talked about a lot, and I think we can do that here. Because it wasn't the focus for the Kings. It wasn't what, philosophically, they don't view the game that way. And I think Doug views the game very similar to the way Mike Brown sees it. Coaches it differently. Might do some things differently. But for the most part, he talks about needing defense, creating extra possessions with rebounds and turning the other team over.
Pushing the tempo,
and 45 to 50 threes a night. If your GM choice, if it's not this current regime, whoever you wind up with, if they do not view basketball that way, if they do not say you need a bunch of switchable dudes who are 6'6 and taller, and a bunch of dudes that can knock down threes, and we're going to shoot 50 threes a night, 40 to 50 threes a night. If that's not your philosophy, then move on to someone else. If you're going to move forward with Doug Christie, and then you need to make sure that you're maximizing your roster to do those things, because I don't think the Kings maximize their roster to do anything. It feels like, after watching this team play, that their goal this season, the whether ownership, the front office, whoever, it was just like, hey, just get back to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Last year was a disaster. Missed the playoffs entirely. What do we have to do to get back to the playoffs? Cool. DeMar DeRozan, 20-point a night guy. Cool. Throw him in there. That'll be good enough to get to the postseason. And it hasn't been.
Well, and at some point, somebody has to take and be held accountable for the team that was put together.
That's it.
The season that's happened. Somebody has to be held accountable. And if that's Wes Wilcox, who may or may not be leaving to go...
University of Utah legend, Wes Wilcox.
Yeah, go to University of Utah and be the general manager there. Like, whatever it is, like, there has to be some accountability for the mistakes that were made this season, the mistakes that were made the season before, mm-hmm. to not improve the roster on the fly.
Mm-hmm.
There just has to be like basic accountability.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that, you know, I guarantee you, it's not just the general manager. It's not just the assistant general manager that has to be like, there has to be some repercussions for what's happened here.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the end of the day, does that mean like losing? Does it, but whatever, like this is going to be an interesting summer to see how they try to fix the problem that the mess that they've got themselves into.
Yeah.
I hope they do. I do.
Same, man. Last year, no, 2 years ago was way more fun.
Oh, it was
last
a blast.
Year was better than this.
Yeah.
And this is just, I hate that with like 15 games to go, it was just, we kind of just know what this is.
Yeah, man.
That's a bummer.
Kyle, it's like, again, they peaked at year one.
Yeah.
How did they peak at year one?
And even then, they peaked at year one with a record that would have been the 7 seed last year.
Yeah, it's a different season for sure. Like
seriously, if you go back to 2 years ago, they win 48 games and they're the 8 seed. It looks a lot different.
No, I agree, but each season is different.
No doubt.
The win totals are different.
You're right.
So
you're right. All right. The Kings play tonight.
They do.
You want to talk about it?
Okay.
All right. See? We're going to talk about it. Kings Thunder. Also, a former NFL GM is working for ESPN, and he did a mock draft that perfectly highlighted why he's a former GM. We'll talk about that as well. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil's on the ones and twos. Jiffy Lube is sponsor of the show, and we're on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Yeah, we sure are. We're here till noon. The Kings have another game tonight. They play Oklahoma City. I did not go into last night's game. I don't think I would have bet on the Kings, but we talked about it. I was... Winning by 10 was as on the table as losing by 30.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel that way tonight. Because like I said earlier, last night felt like a knockout blow type of game. You had the jab from the Bulls, you got a jab from the Bucks, and then the right hook to the jaw from the Celtics.
I agree with you.
You have Zach LaVine after the game being like, vibes are bad. Or no, vibes are not good right now. And then Keon Ellis comes out after the game and says, let's see, where is this? Quote, this is via Tristy Rodriguez at NBC Sports. I think the vibes in the locker room are great, actually. I just think on the court, we have to figure out how to come together a little more.
Yeah, we discussed this before, like when we were talking before the show started. And like for me, it is it is very possible for the vibes to be good for one person and vibes bad for another person.
Yeah, Keon's doing his job. He's starting. Feels great.
Well, that and you know, like, we all can work, you know, you all have a lot of people out there have jobs, right? And when you're at your job, you can love your job, and the person next to you doing the same exact job can mm-hmm. hate it mm-hmm. and resent it and feel horrible about what they're doing with their job.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just the reality of work life culture type mm-hmm. stuff. And for me, I was in the locker room in pregame, and like we were having a good conversation. It was light. Zach LaVine was in the locker room. I actually Jake LaRavia had not heard the song that they play for him now, which I don't know if you've heard yet, but they play Van Halen's Panama every time he scores. But to LaRavia, boom, boom.
They recorded it?
Yes, with LaRavia instead of Panama. So he doesn't know Panama the song at all.
Yeah, of course he doesn't.
No, because it's from the 80s. But
that was a Scott Moak choice for sure.
It wasn't. Well, I know the guys that do this. Shout out. I think it's still they're searching for theme songs for everybody, right?
Goofing.
Yeah, and so it actually that we were laughing about it, and then Zach LaVine said they need to use the Jake moment from Training Day.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yes.
Yes.
And then he's joking around and saying words that I'm not going to say on the air.
Sure.
Like, I don't think they can get away with that part of it.
Yeah.
But this part of it, you know, the Jake.
Yeah.
Come on, Jake. Like, yeah. That, he's like, I that's what I would do for you. He's like, but I did hear your theme music, and it kind of makes sense because, you know.
Not the locker room of a team that feels like it's broken.
That hates each other.
Right.
Not at all. Like, it was lively. It was like, okay, we're having a good discussion, you sure. know? Jonas Valanciunas walks in, and, like, he's just a giant, like, says hello to everybody. Like the locker room doesn't feel like it's shattered. And mm-hmm. that's why I always tell people, like, losing the locker room or whatever, it's just totally different than what anyone thinks. It's not like people are sitting there staring at each other across the room. Now, I have been in that locker room.
Sure.
Like, that sure. has happened, mm-hmm. right, where people are... You know, where there are fights, where people do not like each other. Like, DeMarcus Cousins and Jason Thompson did not like each other at all. Mm-hmm. Like, there was a very huge rift, and Dante Green was on one side, and other players were on, like,
sure.
there have been locker rooms where they don't. That's not what we're seeing here. What we're seeing here is a player who probably, when they said vibes, what about vibes? Like, Zach LaVine's assessment is because they just lost, and he's very upset that they lost and frustrated. That, again, he didn't play up to the level that he knows he's capable of, and that it's going to be talked about ad nauseum the next day.
Mm. I think the fact that it's Zach LaVine coming out after the game and saying the vibe is bad right now, or the vibe is not good right now, your point on this is the biggest issue for me. Because you can't have Zach LaVine, who was brought here to be your offensive one,
mm-hmm.
after how many games with the team? After a month with the team? Month and a half now?
Yeah.
It's been like a month and a half now. After a month and a half with the team going, don't like it. Vibes bad. Vibes are down.
Played 21 games with the Kings.
He's played 21 games. He's already mm-hmm. like, don't like the vibe. That doesn't bode well for me. The fact that their loss last night turned Zach LaVine, should be your number one or number two offensive player on this roster, should be number one, is going, the vibes are bad. The vibe is not good right now. I don't know. There's no saving that. If he's just out, and again, I don't want to put this entirely, I don't know what he has going on in his life. and maybe he's really going through it, which would be cool. I hope everything's okay. But from a basketball standpoint, that to me, if LaVine had gone to the podium and said what Keon Ellis said, yeah, vibe's okay. We just need to figure some things out on the court. You know, we'll be good. But the vibe isn't good right now. To me, says Zach LaVine is looking around and going, this is what this is. There's no improving this.
It's almost like he's been here before.
Sorta.
Yeah. I mean, that's where, like, I think one of the things we talked about before, you know, it's it's a weird situation. And I think that when DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine were together in Chicago, mm-hmm. you know, they were perfectly fine. But they also didn't win. They had one season when they were really good for a short amount of time. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, whatever happens, happens, right? Mm-hmm. But this kind of feels like, you know, again, like, oh, we talked like different analogies here, but almost like you're dating some girl and then you break up, but she moves away. And then your parents go, hey, we're going to move this summer. And you move to a new school and there's the girl that you dated that broke up with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, all right.
Great. Got to relive this.
Great. You're here. Mm-hmm. And the one person that I'm going to know from school is the one person that I really don't you know,
want to be around.
Yeah. And so it's just kind of a weird vibe. And like, look, there's clearly an epic battle going on for who's going to have the most amount of shots, who's going to score the most points. And that's not conducive to team basketball.
Right.
It's just not. Like, yeah. It should not be, you know, we've talked about this so many times about how Kawhi Leonard is supposed to shoot the ball because that's what makes a team better. Like, there is no consideration for what's making the team better at all right now.
Mm-mm.
That's what it feels like. It's about getting your buckets.
Yep. And Zach LaVine is not right now, which is why the vibes are bad, apparently.
Well, that and Zach LaVine isn't like putting his foot down and demanding that he gets the buckets. And so a lot of fans are upset about that. And it's, you know, you have to figure out personalities and everything else. But this is a weird situation. I haven't been through a season where the expectations were so high and they've gone to this low and things have happened during the season that were this bad. Typically when things have gone bad, it's because, let's be honest, they were always going to go bad.
Yep.
That's just a reality.
Yeah. Unless these two dominant offensive players who have played together before completely changed the way they played basketball. This was destined to kind of turn into this.
Figure out a way to compliment each other.
Let's get to the Elk Grove Kia talk line before we get back to Kings Thunder. 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320 if you'd like to join the show. Javier Invacaville called. He's back. Okay, let's get to Javier Invacaville. What's up, Hav?
Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, we got you. What's going on?
How you doing, Mr. Madsen, Mr. Ham? I just wanted to appreciate, for one, you know, you guys being honest and forthright about things that have taken place, because, you know, I talked to, you know, other people in the, you know, media network and landscape, and I just said, I just don't understand. Like, this should be a documentary of how the once the darlings of the NBA 2 years ago, with mm-hmm. all this young up-and-coming talent, have now become the window essentially is closed. And they say, you know, they told me, you know, other networks, oh, you know, success, Javier, is not linear. You know, they compared the Nuggets and the Celtics runs of how they won one of the first round losses in the first round the next year. Semifinals, conference finals, finals, loss, win, etc. I said, but we're not talking about a team like the Kings, who they had the silver platter handed to them of just following the guidelines and the track and the timeline of how you assemble a roster. And it's just, how are you going to sit there and tell me, like, you know, Carmichael Dave said a very good thing. He said, it's
all right,
the owner.
That's it. He's out. Come on, man. Hav, I'm trying here. I can't be bringing up host from the rival radio station.
It's
all good. I was giving him grace.
We'll try again.
Okay. Like, look, and I get what he's saying too. Like, we're not going to sugarcoat what's happening. That's mm-hmm. like, it's about being like intellectually honest with you. Like, mm-hmm. we're not going to feed you like some crazy line about how things are just one tick away. That's not where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
And it is disappointing that the team was up here and now here.
Yep.
Like, how many times do we have to hear about Annapurna and climbing the mountain together? Like, man, you guys are falling down the other side. You've tumbled down the other side.
Yeah. This is not a success isn't linear moment.
No, this is...
This is a, oh, you've derailed entirely.
This is that video where you see the guy trying to ski and all of a sudden there's an avalanche and he's on one ski and the avalanche is about to consume him and he's going as fast as he can down the hill. That's mm-hmm. what's happening right now.
The train is off the tracks.
Yeah.
Instead of trying to push the train while it's laying on its side on the dirt, the move is, hey, let's get a new train rolling through here.
Mm-hmm.
That's gotta be the move. Joe in Elk Grove. Joe in Elk Grove? Is that right? Is that the right name?
Yes, sir.
I'm working on a solution for this, by the way. You're going to have a screen where you can type the names in, and then I will see them.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're it's going to be big time. Yeah. It's going to be big time. Joe in Elk Grove, he's been holding for 24 hours. What's up, Joe?
Hey, how's it going, Kyle? You ready for the baseball season? Ready to make a lot of cash?
Oh, dude, you have no idea.
I'm ready to roll. Let's go. I'm making some big money come Thursday. First of all, my call is for Mr. Ham. I think Zach LaVine's got to go, and I say, from what I'm hearing, Memphis does not want to pay Ja Morant the big cash he's due this coming summer. How about setting LaVine? What would it take to get Ja Morant to Sacramento for LaVine? Could that work out, or would we have to throw some more stuff in there? And I'll take it off the air. Good day, Mr. Ham, to you.
Thanks, Joe. Hey, San Antonio Spurs guy, tweet it out. Send it out.
Okay,
Zach LaVine for Ja Morant.
Like, look, I think the Ja thing is going to surface again. Ja is an extremely talented player. He would fit the roster better than Zach LaVine. But even if you brought in Zach LaVine, Ja Morant for Zach LaVine, you're still not going to have the continuity and everything else that you need here. It's going to take more changes than that. I think Ja Morant would be really, really interesting with Domantas Sabonis. I do. But you got to figure some things out. And maybe that's a possibility. It would take more than Zach LaVine straight up for Ja Morant, correct. I believe. It would take
several ones.
It would take probably Zach LaVine and two first round picks.
At least.
Yeah.
Because you have to go to the world where Ja Morant's on the open market.
Yeah, I think Ja Morant, too, is under contract for a long time. And, hey, that dude's got his own baggage. Not only the off-the-court stuff and, like, the knucklehead stuff, but on top of that, he's had a ton of injuries.
And they're all different. It's not he has, like, this year, he's had, like, a wrist and a back. And he's got a hamstring.
Yeah, he plays out of control, which I think you love, and I think fans would love him in Sacramento. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of question marks. Yeah. Question marks.
Who else? TC? TC still there? TC, you're on the Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. What's up?
Hey, I'm still here. Hey, I'm Kyle. What's up, man?
What's up, buddy?
Chilling, bro.
No, just being honest, bro. So
thank you.
It has to happen, bro. Like, we can't do both these dudes, bro. DeRozan has to leave, bro. Either one of them, or if not both, dog, to move on forward. Like, well, what we got going on, period, point blank. That's where we at right now. I don't want to keep beating the dead horse with DeRozan, bro. But my eyes are telling me something totally different with everybody want to keep saying, bro. I'm looking at their body language. I'm looking at the game last night. And I'm like, bro, this dude is defiant. And the team is not feeling that. They're like, bro, why aren't you playing within – even Zach, his boy, is angry. They ain't going to come out and tell him, like, hey, man, you got to stop. But at the same time, they're irritated, bro, with how he's playing. I'm telling you, bro, it's not missing. DeRozan has to leave this team on the offseason. Whether he wants to ask for a trade or we got to move him. It has to happen, dog.
Thanks, TC. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of the page everybody's landing on. I would be floored if the Kings won tonight.
Absolutely floored if the Kings win tonight.
Be great. I hope they do. But I wouldn't have been floored if they beat the Celtics last night. But given how last night went, and given everything we've talked about today, I would be shocked if they won this game tonight.
We still don't have an injury report that I know of that would tell us who's going to play for the Kings tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to guess Domas is playing. I have no idea with Malik. Malik is sick for sure. And I don't know what Malik has, but
it's not good.
But we also live in a world where there are plenty of things that last more than 3 or 4 days. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a hope that Malik can play, but questionable.
Yeah.
That's what he was yesterday and wasn't able to go. This is a big game. This is a big game for the Kings. Every game from here on out. I mean, there's only 11 games left. That's a crazy thing. There's only 11 games left in the season.
Mm-hmm.
After tonight, I think there's 4 more home games.
Yep.
Yeah, it's just wild. The season has gone away so fast, and it feels like it's been 5 seasons in one. Yeah, this is it.
So if the Kings lose tonight, let me make sure I have this right. If the Kings lose tonight, and the Mavericks beat the Knicks in New York, the Kings are the 11th seed? Because they'd fall behind the Suns. They'd be tied with the Suns.
Yes.
But the Suns have the tiebreaker.
Yeah. That's where you'd be. 35 and 36, 35 and 37, 35 and 37. That's the three teams that are locked in within a half game of each other for the 9, 10, and 11 spot.
I expected the Kings to be in this mix for the 4, 5, 6, 7 range.
Yeah, even like 3 weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, we thought they might be in that 6, 7, 8 range, yeah. Like battling. God. No.
Crazy how fast it just all kind of derailed. All right, we got the handoff coming up. It's Jesse Tapia today. Going to jump in with us for the handoff. I'm going to have a winning lineup for you on Underdog coming up. And we'll try and sort out the wreckage of whatever's left of this Kings season. That's James, Joe Brazil's Pushing Buttons. I'm Kyle. We're the Insiders. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Kyle Madsen alongside James Hamm, Jesse Tapia.
Yes, sir.
Produces D'Lo and KC. He's in here for the handoff. Joe Brazil is also with us. Joe Brazil, who apparently just looks like every white NBA player. It's fine.
Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson in there.
Someone said Macaulay Culkin. That's
they
crazy.
Said every mid
that's
white
crazy.
Player, though.
Yo, you guys start fighting back, bro.
I don't know.
Nobody said nobody said Luka.
Nobody said Luka. No. No. It's good.
Is that a little Doug McDermott in there?
Maybe a little McDermott. Yeah, there we go.
Stop. Have you filed assault charges against Domantas Sabonis yet, Jesse?
I did in the moment.
Okay.
But we've retracted. It's fine.
Okay.
Tatum's only going to be out for like a week, it seems, or however long. Right. It's just an unfortunate play. Like, yeah, Domas is not dirty. Like, yeah, like, whatever.
Yeah. He plays hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Tell, like, beginning of that game, yesterday, like, oh, Domas is here. Like, it was almost like, Domas kind of came early to fix this. Like, they ended up losing, but, like, Domas was, like, really, like, putting emphasis on, like, no, we got to get this out.
Yeah. I thought the way he was playing early was like, oh, all right, they're here.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he takes 10 shots.
He got hit in the face by, is it Luke Kornet? And then, like, was yelling at the official. And then went down on the other end, and Luke Kornet standing in the middle of the key. He just bodied that dude to the floor. Just knocked him down and
shout out
laid
to
it right
shout
up.
Out to Luke.
Luke Kornet.
There's another one. Domantas Sabonis.
Joe Ingles.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take that. Okay,
hang on.
Right.
The Celtics got a lot. Kristaps Porzingis.
Okay.
I'm not saying Peyton Pritchard. That's mean. Baylor Shireman.
Hey, shout out Baylor Shireman yesterday.
Baylor Shireman is awesome.
Yeah,
Baylor Shireman.
Defense and hitting threes.
Hey, Baylor Shireman took more three-pointers than every player on the Kings.
That steal and behind-the-back flip he had
was
spectacular.
Jake LaRavia?
No.
A little Jake LaRavia in there? No? All right.
I'm growing a mustache.
There's no version of this Kings season where it's a successful year, right?
You could somehow, some way, get into the play-in and get into the first round of the playoffs. That's success.
If they make the playoffs?
Yeah, that's success.
Oh,
given how disgusting everything is.
I disagree.
Yeah.
I disagree.
What do you mean? You got to the playoffs. That counts for something. You're one of the top eight teams in the West.
Okay, this is where there's a disconnect with how James and I discuss the Kings and where some other people, and this is not, there's a right or wrong way to do it. In fact, we're probably doing it the wrong way given our jobs, but James, if you disagree with this, let me know. I think we're on the same page here though.
Okay.
making the playoffs does not suddenly mean like, oh, the Kings have got a little something here.
Oh, no. Well, yeah, ask me like, if I see a future after this year.
Right, and that's the thing, is that they make the playoffs. There's, we're not coming out of this year like, all right, coming out of Beam Team 1, it was like arrow ascending. This team is going the right way. Coming out of last year, it was like, okay, ran it back too hard, need to make a couple of tweaks, but still ascending, step back, minor setback for a major comeback, or whatever the phrase is. This year, there's not.
I get everything you're saying, but I can't say a team that made the playoffs was unsuccessful that year.
Really?
Like there's context and all that. Like going forward, like just I mean the whole build, that, like Monty McNair build was a failure because.
But the context for me is that this team we expected to be a top 5-ish seed in the West was a top 9-ish seed in the West and lost in the first round.
Yeah. No, you.
They're like a cat poster. Hang in there, little fella.
You're right. If we're going off of game one expectations that we had, I guess, but it's just, I don't know. I guess maybe it's a consolation prize that I'm looking at it. Because, like, playoffs is playoffs. Like, that's, like I said, you make playoffs, you're a top eight team, no matter how you get there or whatever. But also, I don't really see the future with this team. Like, we're not taking this team to the Western Conference Finals with this group or anything like that. Like, all the things, expectations that you had when you were trying to build on De'Aaron Fox and DeMontis Simmons are pretty much gone right now.
Sure.
I also hope that this is a moment where, like, ownership looks at what's happened here and realizes that the path that they've taken and the path that they continuously take isn't the right one. And there has to be more stability. Mm. There has to be more, just fewer cooks in the kitchen, fewer people that are impacting what's happening. And, I do think that there is a moment here where you have to have some clarity as a franchise.
Honestly, I feel like it's time to do that this offseason. Like, run it back for one more time with this group. Like, what are you going to get from that?
Nothing.
Exactly.
Like, Zach LaVine.
We know what this is.
Zach LaVine yesterday was like, the vibes are down.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any coming back from that.
They're just not a good basketball team right now.
No, that's it.
And that's what it comes down to. Like, I've been seeing, like, Wes Wilcox, if he ends up going to Utah or whatever, like, great. That's half of it gone, but it's not like, oh, now Monty get cooked. No, Monty's still part of the problem as well.
Yeah, there's some wholesale changes coming, even if they make the first round of the playoffs, I think.
Like, I do see a scenario where maybe you don't completely blow up the roster, but maybe, all right, we'll stick with Sabonis or these few players or whatever and try to just round it out better rather than having three 40 million players or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. But
Can I say something to you not about the Kings?
Yes.
It's pretty rare that I watch a whole Jason Tatum game. Playoffs, obviously, I'm locked in. But like on a night-to-night basis, I check in on League Pass on games that matter to the Kings for the most part. And it's rare that Boston is one of those teams. I was so impressed with how in control he is of everything all the time.
Yeah, he's kind of developed into that, like, He's the best version of himself probably the last couple, like this season and last season.
Yeah.
He's one of the most complete players in the NBA, I think.
My lasting image of Jason Tatum was the 2022 finals. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just what's colored my opinion of him. And in that finals, he was not good.
Yeah.
He couldn't shoot. He couldn't score at the rim. He was just all over the place. And then you watch him yesterday, and it's just everything is in total control. And he's never sped up. He's never going to the wrong place with the basketball. He turns it over sometimes, you know, makes some mistakes here and there. But it's just like there's so few guys that are just the guy in the way that he is. And I was really impressed last night.
Yeah, that's like.
And I just wanted to say that to you.
Well, I will relay that to him. And
yeah,
the guys
let him know.
And, yeah,
let
he'd
him
be grateful
know.
For
Thank
that.
You.
That's like the last part of his game he unlocked. I think that's probably why he'll never go for 30 or anything like that. Just he's just.
I think he was going for 30 last night.
Well, I mean, like, average 30 in a season. Like, he's at 26 point whatever right now or something like that. But he's like their glue guy on the offense now.
Yeah. Man.
Yeah, he's a pretty good player. Shout out. I was terrified yesterday when he got hurt.
It looked really bad.
I thought things were torn. I thought things were going to have to be amputated. I'm sitting there with my hoodie just kind of over my face, just terrified.
If you've missed it, Jesse's a Celtics fan.
Yes, if you didn't know that already.
The Kings are missing the play-in.
Brother, they might. And right now, if you gave me an answer, I'd say they would.
Let me throw this at you.
Yes.
Here's the Suns' remaining schedule.
Mm-hmm.
The Suns, who have won 4 in a row and 5 of their last 6. James, before I continue this, can you say anything that just happened?
Yeah.
Okay, great. Here's the Suns' remaining schedule, and then we'll get to why James left. Boston, at Minnesota, Houston, at Milwaukee, at Boston, at the Knicks, Warriors, Thunder, Spurs, at Kings.
Yeah, but Kevin Durant went for, like, what, 40 yesterday almost?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah.
Really good player.
It's Kevin Durant. Yeah. You said, you know, I'm who, Kevin Durant.
You know who I am.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the Mavs have the Knicks, Magic, Bulls, Nets, Hawks, Clippers twice, Lakers, Raptors, Grizzlies.
On D'Lo and KC, the show, we've talked about, like, yeah, the Mavs are done. Cook, Kyrie's done.
Yeah, we've stopped doing the, like, scoreboard watching with them.
And you know what? We were kind of right, but it turns out that, yeah, the Kings stink too.
That's it. I did not foresee the Kings.
Yes, they did what they couldn't do. They did the one thing they couldn't do. I think they've lost 6 out of 8, 7 out of their last 9. Like, you couldn't do that one thing.
Yep.
And you did.
James, you just exited.
I did.
You got a phone call.
Yeah.
Talk
so I can confirm, Wes Wilcox, it does appear, is on his way to the University of Utah to take over, which is the report we saw early this morning, that there was a possibility for this, but it does look like he is on his way to the University of Utah to take over as the men's basketball general manager.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new opportunity for Wes. He's very close with the coach there. It's a long lineage of, you know, like, quality basketball, University mm-hmm. of Utah, Rick Majerus, all that stuff. It does appear that he is on his way, whether it's now or it's at the end of the season. I don't know that quite yet, but yeah, we can confirm that.
Might as well just go now, not doing anything else.
Yeah, this is happening.
Like, just, wow.
What, 10 games left? Go ahead, Wes.
Yeah, see ya.
Yeah.
You
don't need to be around for anything.
Yeah, good for you.
Go build that program. Good luck.
Yes.
Right.
Very, very interesting turn of events here.
So the Kings front office will look at least a little different next year, no matter what.
Yeah.
Or did Wes take that job knowing that they were out of there?
I don't know, but please, for the love of everything, no co-GMs.
No co-GMs.
No co-GMs.
One guy.
Yes.
One decision maker. Give him the keys. Anyways.
I don't want Monty working with someone else. I need one guy calling the shots here.
I'm going to give you the keys to winning some money on Underdog tonight.
Shut up.
Baseball fans, even if you're not a baseball fan, lock into Underdog because we're going to be dishing out winning lineups on Underdog Daily Fantasy all baseball season. Their pick'em game's super easy. It works the exact same way with baseball as it does with football as it does with basketball. You're picking higher or lower on at least 2-player stats. Thursday is opening day. That will be our first lineup because I refuse to do a spring training lineup. I'm not that kind of person. But hey, here's my lineup tonight. All Kings, Thunder, of course. Jalen Williams, who is questionable, I'm going higher than 27.5 points, rebounds, and assists. DeMar DeRozan, I'm going higher than 21.5 points because I think DeMar DeRozan's goal right now is just to score points. Domantas Sabonis, higher than half a double-double. I think Domas does have at least 10 and 10 tonight. He might go triple-double tonight against Oklahoma City. And then Lu Dort, higher than 1.5 made threes. Lu Dort can shoot the hell out of the basketball now. FYI. And good shooters against the Kings, who's not a primary ball handler. He's going to get some open looks. I think he's going to knock at least a couple of them down. That is my lineup on Underdog. I would love for you to play along. Download the Underdog app and sign up now using promo code KYLEM to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash when you make your first deposit. Join in on the fun when you sign up with promo code KYLEM. Claim your special offer today and get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly upon first deposit. Must be 18 plus and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. Jesse, what do you guys got coming up?
Going to light the Kings up. Hopefully they win tonight. We got Trista Crigg and Jason Jones.
Can't wait. D'Lo and KC coming up next. They'll take you up to 4 o'clock where we will have Warriors Heat right here on ESPN 1320. For James Hamm and Joe Brazil, I'm Kyle Madsen. D'Lo and KC are next. We've been the Insiders, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. Until tomorrow at 10, drink water. Be nice, people. See ya!
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing! Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.